This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I just think all the teams that need a running back and look at Saquon. Do you feel good about eating $3 to $4 million for a fifth round pick? Like, I wouldn't.
I don't know. I'm not. There's no guarantee we can trade it. So, you know, having the needs that we have in a $12 million, 27-year-old running back.
Trading Saquon is a Hail Mary. And the drama and all that goes with it, we did that last year.
It's 10 years off my life dealing with it. Emotionally, it was draining. We spent a lot of time on it. But again, I don't want that to be the reason that we don't do what's best for the franchise.
Okay, so to take this step further, we lose Saquon, right? What's our identity going to be on offense now? Like, what's our plan to, what's the next step of that? I guess is what I'm thinking. Like, we're losing
a
large part of our offense, our explosiveness, our touchdowns. Quarterback, if it's Daniel, depends on the run game.
We've got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at 6. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
Could you imagine? This is the year for Daniel, and he didn't even make Thanksgiving. Now, I know if Doc was here, he'd be very upset that I'm leading with a New York sports story. But it's the story of the NFL today. What do you want from me? Not only is it not the year for the Daniel, It's not the year of Danny Dimes. It's not the year of Big Blue. It's not the year of anything. Boo-hoo! At 2-8. And the New York Giants, who just signed Daniel Jones to a mega contract extension a year and a half ago, have released him. I think, as expected, everybody is shocked by this. We mentioned this earlier this week. And then yesterday we saw that he was playing safety on the scout team. And they brought in some third quarterback jabroni. Like, people are shocked by this. This is not surprising at all. It's surprising how quickly it ended. A year and a half ago, Daniel Jones signed a big, big contract extension because he, like some others have done, balled out when it was absolutely necessary, stayed healthy, which he had never done, reduced turnovers, played well, really well, under Brian Daboll, had an offensive line before they all started getting injured, had some weapons, won a road playoff game, and everybody looked around and said, just like they did in Jacksonville, and just like they did in Miami, and said, well, you know, he's not Tom Brady, he's not Peyton Manning, he's not Aaron Rodgers in his prime. He's not Joe Montana. But we could do worse. They all looked around and said the same thing. And they said the same thing in Jacksonville. And they said the same thing in Miami. And they said the same thing in New York or East Rutherford. And so far, in two of those three examples that I cited, it's a complete and utter disaster. The only one left standing out of that three is Tua Tagovailoa, because Trevor Lawrence is never going to be right again. And he wasn't right before this. And Daniel Jones is never going to be right again. Even though quarterbacks can live another day, and they certainly can. And Daniel Jones might go on and be a version of what Sam Darnold has been for the Minnesota Vikings this year. And be a version of, what's the other quarterback that's kind of had a, Baker Mayfield, and what Baker Mayfield has done for the Bucs the last year and a half? Maybe. Daniel Jones has got talent. Daniel Jones was not able to stay healthy, and Daniel Jones was not able to complete, outside of one good year and a couple of assorted runs, able to control the turnovers. That's a bad mix. Health or bad health, and a turnover issue spells big problems. The only team he was able to consistently play well against was the Washington Commanders, or the football team, or the Redskins, or by any other name, the Washington Armada. And now Daniel Jones is no more. The world will, of course, move on. Tommy Cutlets is going to start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the 2-8 Giants against Baker Mayfield, one of those reclamation projects that everybody gave up on, that everybody in the media and the dopey fan bases think is terrible, awful, disgusting, useless, a bag of crap. You know, all the things that I hear, all the things that I see, people are going to come after me because I've defended Daniel Jones from time to time and said, guys, listen, I'm not telling you he's good. I'm not telling you he's great. He's just not as bad as you all make him out to be. Not as bad as the narrative is. Again, I have no way to measure that other than I know what I read. I know what I hear. I know what I see. And then I also know what I see, not only just against the Washington NFL franchise. I see what I see against others. But clearly what it was a case of not being good enough, not being consistent enough. And consistency is the name of the game. If you can be consistent at whatever your position is, whatever your role is, in this league as a team or as an individual, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, whatever. If you can be consistent, as long as you're not consistently bad, then you are going to have a job for probably a long time, and you're going to make yourself a good amount of money. As long as, again, you're not consistently bad, which some would argue, many would argue, Daniel Jones has been consistently bad. That's not me. I see a different version. I was not a fan of his coming out in the 2019 draft. I thought he was way overdrafted. I thought that was a lot of David Cutcliffe Manning hype by all the dum-dums in the media that just can't wait to get on their knees and start slurping away. But I didn't think he was going to be terrible, and he's not. He's not terrible. As a matter of fact, if you said to me, if Daniel Jones misses, if Daniel Jones doesn't sign with anybody because he's going to clear waivers, nobody's going to take the contract. If he, for whatever reason, just doesn't like any situation out there, doesn't sign as Brock Purdy's backup or whatever, and Daniel Jones is a free agent going into next offseason, and Marcus Mariota, who played well in the one game that he played in, but it took him a little while to get going. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, he played in two games, Cleveland, but whatever, that game was way over. Marcus Mariota's a free agent. If Marcus Mariota then turns around and says, "Nah, you know what, I really, really, really want a chance to be a starter, and I can find that team, and I can find somebody that's going to pay me $9 million a year." If you said, "Hey, man, I can get you Daniel Jones 1 year, $5 million, something like that, $4 million, I'd take him in a heartbeat. Take him in a heartbeat as Jaden Daniels' backup.
Yeah.
Not as a starter, but as a guy who could start if you needed him to and could play for a number of weeks, maybe not at a high level, maybe not at an all-pro level, but could play at a competent plus level. One thing about Daniel Jones, he ain't dumb. And we know he's athletic, and we know he's got a good enough arm. Again, if you told me in March Daniel Jones is still a free agent and Marcus Mariota wants the chance to be a legitimate starter, competition, whatever, next year, wants a lot more money, I would take Daniel Jones in a heartbeat around here. In a heartbeat. And I would think most Washington fans would only be interested because they know how well he's played against us, but they would be dubious or skeptical, and I can guarantee you one of my colleagues would think that Adam Peters had lost his lunch and his mind, okay? And he would be wrong, as he normally is. But if Daniel Jones was a free agent still in March, and again, Marcus Mariota didn't want to be here for whatever reason. He wanted a lot more money. He thought he could get a better job starting somewhere else. Maybe, I don't know, in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy coming back. Who knows? Jets, whatever the situation might be. I would take Daniel Jones in a heartbeat. I would have no qualms at all. None. And it's not just because he kicks the Burgundy and Gold's ass most of the time that he plays against them.
There's only one thing that hopefully you can kind of clarify for me with regards to this entire Daniel Jones situation, and it has to deal with the press release that John Mara put out. It's specifically the start of it. Daniel Jones came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed that we would be best for that. It would be best for him and for the team.
Right.
So my only question is, knowing that he's off the first team, he's taking reps in practice as the scout team safety.
Right.
The way that that is phrased makes it look like Daniel Jones had to go to them and be like, "Hey, why are you keeping me on the team if you're having me do scout team safety? Can I be released?" Which, if they are so, they're waiting for him to be like, "Hey, I need to be released," that seems insane to me. That seems like very poor management of a situation if you're waiting for your guy that is apparently your guy you're spending $40 million on to come and be like, "Hey guys, can you just release me? This is not a good situation for anyone." Right. Seems very non-informed.
All right, so let me take you how at least my perspective on this is. You just mentioned the safety thing. Clearly, that was a... I don't know if that was a move to embarrass him, but I would put nothing past Dable, who doesn't seem like the friendliest guy in the world. But earlier this week, it was reported that they signed a third quarterback, and I can't remember the guy's name. Trying to look up on their depth. Oh, Tim Boyle. Okay. So he's on the practice squad right now. He could serve as the emergency quarterback. I guess that was the plan. Then they put him out at scout team safety because they need something for him to do, so on and so forth, right? So it looked like they were kind of trying to embarrass him. It looked like they were in a spot where they didn't know what to do with him. And basically when this happened, Daniel Jones knows the writing is on the wall. The Giants know the writing is on the wall. Everybody knows where this is heading, that he's going to get released. So I think, even though it took, according to the statement from John Mara, Daniel Jones to come to him, I'm guessing that they would have gone to Daniel Jones at some point here, whether it be today, tomorrow, Monday, maybe not because it's a short week and they got to play in Dallas, and 40 million numbnuts are going to watch that game. It was going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
To me, it doesn't matter that Daniel Jones went to them. And maybe
it feels super passive aggressive, like, oh, we're not going to give up on you. We're just going to put you in the worst situation possible until you're like, I don't want to be here anymore.
I mean, they probably thought to themselves, well, if we cut him immediately, then that makes him really look really bad.
I feel like putting him on the scout team safety doesn't make him look any better.
I'm with you on that. So, like, the thought process doesn't absolutely make sense. But here's also what I would say is, hey, man, we're still paying you. Like, we can get something from you. Like, you want to play a safety on scout team? Okay. You want to take a couple of scout team quarterback reps? Okay. You want to be in the quarterback room, as uncomfortable and as maybe awkward as that would be, with Drew Locke and Tommy Cutlets? Maybe you can give them a little bit of advice. We're still paying you, right? So maybe that was their thought process, was we're still paying you. It's, you know, you're a professional guy. Let's make this work. Let's make awkward not awkward. And maybe that's their thinking. Here's the bottom line. They knew, obviously, that this was over before March of next year. We went over the contract earlier this week. I guess it was like 12 and a half million of the $23 million injury guarantee becomes guaranteed on a certain date in March, first date of the league year, I think it is, if he was still on the roster. Obviously, nobody wanted to get to that. But part of the reason why he's benched, not the only reason, but part of the reason why he's benched is because, and especially with a guy with an injury history, if he, for whatever reason, goes out and blows out his knee again while playing, can he pass a physical before the deadline so that we don't have to pay him all this guaranteed money? And that's why teams have shut down quarterbacks like Russell Wilson last year in Denver with a couple of games to go, and now like Daniel Jones. Again, that's not the only reason. Daniel Jones was not playing well, but part of the reason why he was not playing well is because he didn't have a stud left tackle. For a couple of games, he didn't have a stud receiver, and it looks like Malik Nabers is going to miss this week's game again. He didn't have really any support. He missed Devin Singletary, who was the starter for a couple, missed him for a couple of games, so on and so forth. The bottom line is this. It didn't work out for a myriad of reasons in New York for Daniel Jones, and I understand we're not WFAN. I got it. It didn't work out for Daniel Jones for a myriad of reasons. The way I want to tie this back in, besides what I just mentioned, the possibility that if Marcus Mariota wants to go elsewhere and Daniel Jones is still a free agent, hey, man, would you consider bringing him here? Hell yeah, I would. Hell yeah, I would. Besides that, what I would also say is this. It is a continuing reminder of how the NFL stands for not for long. It is a continuing reminder of just when you people think you've got it and got it on lock and think everything's great, how one injury, one bad turn, one bad moment can change the trajectory forever. Forever. And for those of you that sit here, like my colleagues, my co-hosts, you, the listener, fans, callers, and think, oh, you know, you're just Nancy negative or negative Nancy or whatever the hell that term is. Or you're just a glasses half empty guy. You're just a fool for worrying about Jaden Daniels getting injured. There's nothing we can do about that. This is why I worry about it. Because think about this. The Giants thought they had it figured out. They thought they had it figured out with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, a road playoff win, Danny Dimes, Saquon Barkley, a good defense. Hey, man, we're going to win a Super Bowl or contend for a Super Bowl soon. And we might be at or near the top of the NFL mountain for a couple of years here. We've got a window. Let's do the contract. And less than a year later, they were talking about trading them. Less than a year later, they were talking about, hey, man, the jury's out. We just don't know. You know, do we keep Saquon? Do we trade Danny? Do we keep Danny? This is a jury by trial year. And then 8 months after that, he's not even on the team. Not even on the team. Again, things can change very, 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 very quickly in this league. Just like they did for Robert Griffin III. And speaking of RG3, he'll be at the game on Sunday. I'll tell you why next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, it feels good, baby. Good to have you with us on a feel-good football Friday. Indeed, we opened up a little bit different. You heard the sound from Hard Knocks. And that is the biggest story in the NFL landscape on this Friday. Daniel Jones released by the Giants, apparently at his request. If you believe the press conference the statement or whatever it is from the Mara, not a surprise. Again, if you're paying attention, they signed a third-string quarterback earlier this week. They had him on safety practice squad. It was just a matter of when this was going to happen, not if it was going to happen. And it became very apparent it was going to happen soon. Again, if you're shocked by this, you weren't paying attention. You weren't reading the room if you're shocked by this. And I've heard a lot of people that were like, whoa, stunned. Yeah, maybe somebody missed something or whatever. Fine, okay. But if you were paying attention, you shouldn't be shocked by this. And actually, this is a good thing for the Giants, too, because as I said, when it came to Robert Griffin III back in 2015, when it came to his then fifth-year option, the notion of just not playing somebody to prevent them from being injured sounds right, but guys, we know all the time people get injured in every sort of way, athletes, non-athletes. You can break a leg going down the stairs in your home.
My wrist has been messed up for the past couple weeks because I was cooking and went a little bit too violently into the microwave container.
Should never try and arrive violently at the microwave, that is. I mean, if you're Joe Witt's defense, you can arrive violently.
Especially to the ball.
Exactly. Speaking of Robert Griffin III. Yes. That Robert Griffin III.
It's an orgy in the end zone.
Hi, Robbie. Robert Griffin III is going to be what they are calling, the team is, not me, the legend of the game. That's right. Every home game, they honor a player from the past. 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, it was, no surprise, LeVar Arrington. He's got Pittsburgh roots, played at Penn State. I didn't get to run into LeVar. They kept them separate from us, unless I missed something. I don't know if I'm going to see Robert Griffin III this Sunday. We haven't talked in 8 years. I mean, just be honest. We haven't talked since the night he was released. He was very upset at something I said on the radio.
Cue the fool.
Said it already sold. I mean, I got nothing to hide. He was upset at something I said on the radio. I said what I said. I knew it to be true because I know who told it to me.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm sure about it. It was Robert Griffin III that told it to me. And then he wrote a book, or he tried to write a book. And boy, was that a failure. I know the whole story there. I'm not at liberty to tell you everything. But boy, was that a failure. And then he got fired from ESPN. So, listen. They could do whatever they want to do. They can honor whoever they want to honor. I understand. I would never call Robert a legend of this franchise. He had one good year. One really good year. He was a rock star. He was not a legend in my eyes. But I understand, like, they're trying to do something to bring home the alumni, the, you know, bring home those warm feelings, get everybody fired up. Robert's probably going to be waving a towel, jumping all around and all that stuff, getting everybody fired up. I got it. They can do whatever they want to do. I wouldn't personally call Robert a legend, but whatever. But Robert's a perfect example of, again, as we open up the show with Daniel Jones and that news, how quickly things can change in the NFL, right? And why I have approached the Jaden Daniels rookie campaign and currently with some level of trepidation. Not because I think he's the same person as Robert Griffin. I know he's not. I know he's much more mature. I know he's much more hardworking. I totally know all of that. But think about this. A lot of people think that Robert's career was permanently derailed by the Haloti Ngata hit. I don't think it was, but certainly that was the first dent, if you will. And then the torn ACL against Seattle on pavement, on a ripped up, chewed up FedEx Field playing surface. Why was it so ripped up and chewed up? Because Daniel Snyder did not care about, and Bruce Allen did not care about, anything that couldn't make them money. They had no foresight. They had no common sense. None at all. I worked for those guys. I know them. Okay? I know how they operate. They had none of that. But Robert, his career permanently changed that night or with those two hits. But that did not end his career. That did not rob him of any chance. What robbed him, quite honestly, of any chance was all of the controversy, all of the drama, whether it was his dad, whether it was him going to a member of the media, and sometimes that was me, whether it was something he would say at the podium, whether it was something he would say privately to Mike or Kyle Shanahan that they would leak, whatever it was. There was a litany of things that prevented Robert Griffin III from truly being a legend here in Washington. He had one great year. One great year. And that's it. And that's all there ever was going to be. Jay Gruden wasn't racist, as he was accused of being, for benching Robert Griffin III or for putting him out there in a preseason game against Detroit. And let him get his clock cleaned. Jay had to find out, hey man, you guys keep telling me, including you in the ivory office, this kid's got to play. He's our future. He's our quarterback. He's our franchise. He's the stud. He's this. I'm going to show you he's not. I'm going to show you he's not. But again, Robert Griffin III, this isn't like putting him on trial. It's just in conjunction with the Daniel Jones thing of how quickly things can change in the NFL. And just when you think you have it answered and solved and figured out, you don't.
One thing I will say, just as a counterpoint to you saying, why are we bringing back RG3? What was our show yesterday?
About the history and the rivalry and when one of the moments that we mentioned. Yes.
When was the last time that Dallas Week actually meant anything?
No doubt.
And so I think that's a big reason why he's back specifically this week.
It's a good point.
If you're talking about recent Dallas rivalries mm-hmm. and big games against them, he's the guy to bring in because he's the guy with the most recent history and succeeding at it.
It's more than fair point.
Not the biggest fan of
him. By the way, I'm not mad that they're doing this.
I'm not mad.
I'm just pointing it out because it is somewhat newsworthy that Robert Griffin III is coming back.
I'm not the biggest fan of RG3, and I wouldn't consider him a legend. But if you are trying to get the right guy to be at the game, the most recent winner of the Dallas rivalry when it actually meant something seems like a pretty good guy to bring in.
You could bring in Alfred Morris.
Yeah, you could. Oh, I'm saying that he's not the only one that you could bring in.
Yeah.
But he's on the list.
No doubt. Well, and obviously the most recognizable name for sure. All right, let's do a trending alert and then we will get into the Commanders and the Cowboys. How do you think the Commanders should attack the Cowboys on offense and on defense? Let's start that way, and then we'll make our way into our picks, predictions, analysis of the game, and whatnot. I've got, I think, a pretty good plan early on to attack the Cowboys' defense on a short week after they were beat up and run through by Joe Mixon and the Houston Texans. I'll give you that next, along with your calls at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so indeed, as we opened up the show, the Giants and Daniel Jones have mutually decided to part ways. In a statement, John Mara, the team's owner, saying that Jones approached him and they decided to do what's best for both sides. So he will become a free agent once he's not claimed on waivers, which nobody is going to claim him because they would have to inherit his contract. So Daniel Jones is going to be a free agent and is going to be available to sign with somebody probably by Monday afternoon. Let's just call it that. All right. Meanwhile, other NFL news, the Broncos and the Chargers game has been flexed onto Thursday night football in December. It goes from Sunday, December 22nd to Thursday night, December 19th. And instead, the Browns game that was originally scheduled for that game against Cincinnati, the battle for Ohio, has been moved to Sunday. A lot of people unaware that there is a window where teams can be flexed onto Thursday night football. And now we've seen that as part of the package that was arranged over the offseason. So, again, just keep that in mind because the Commanders could be forced to play on another Thursday night again this year. Speaking of the Commanders, Marshon Lattimore officially ruled out for this game. Still not able to practice. We will see. Dan Quinn said he was treading in the right direction. Apparently not enough. Never really even got a full practice in. Meanwhile, the Wizards are home tonight for the Boston Celtics in an NBA Cup game, which means they'll break out the really weird-looking court. The Wizards need to break out a win against the defending NBA champions, but they've lost 9 in a row. They're 2-11, and they got spanked in the home opener by Boston about a month ago. 7 o'clock tip, 6:45 the pre, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us on a feel-good football Friday. The Commanders and the Cowboys coming up Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Listen, we all know that this should be a mismatch, right? Should. But we all know that that's why you play the games. And just when you think you've got this league figured out and straightened up, it completely pulls the wool over your eyes. And we should all keep that in mind. That, again, just when you think, oh, well, this is an easy game. This is a game that they should win by 100. Screw the 10.5. The Sharks would tell you, off the coast of Cambodia, by the way, the Sharks would tell you that the Commanders should win by, I don't know, 17, 20, 23. They would tell you they got the side, they got the total, they got the inside information that you don't have. They know what's going to happen. They don't know, but they're going to tell you that. Here's what I can tell you. I don't know what's going to happen either. I feel pretty good about this one for obvious reasons. I think the Cowboys stink. I think the Cowboys have, if they haven't quit, they've tapped out. I think you saw it all over their faces on Monday night against the Houston Texans late, those of you that were still watching that game. I think you saw all that you needed to see. That doesn't mean that they can't get off the ground and figure out a way to be competitive. That doesn't mean for sure the Commanders are going to win. But if we're being honest, if there's a game that you would think the Commanders should pretty easily win, maybe you already thought that against Cleveland. Maybe you already thought that against Carolina. And ultimately, you were right. They won both of those games going away. This is a game that they should win and should win easily. Now, that being said, the Commanders come in off of a two-game losing streak in which their offense did not look great in either game. As I was reminded by Brian Mitchell, and it's right, they scored 27 points in the Steelers game. Now, I countered, said 7 points were a gift from the special teams blunder that Pittsburgh made. Otherwise, that wouldn't have been a thing. But I can't take it away from them. That was the reality. They scored 27 points. And none were 100% because of the defense. So they scored 27 points. Now, obviously, they did not do that, repeat that, in a worse performance against the Philadelphia Eagles. The one thing that I would say is in the Pittsburgh game, they had drops or non-catches. That wasn't as much of a problem, certainly, against Philadelphia. I'm not saying that everything was perfect, but it was clearly more a poor performance against Philadelphia. They've had a couple of extra days to prepare. They've had, more importantly, as I kept saying, extra time to rest and basically get a little bit of a mini bye weekend after playing 17 straight weeks of football. So again, while there are no guarantees and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, including the Sharks, while nobody knows what's going to happen, you feel pretty good on paper going into this one, right? Logic and common sense would tell you, you feel pretty good. Now, let me give you a couple more reasons why you should feel pretty good, besides the fact that the Cowboys, again, have won 3 games all year. And by the way, 3 of those games on the road. The Dallas Cowboys. See, people aren't thinking about this. The Dallas Cowboys have been so bad at home that people forget about this, that all 3 of their wins, and they haven't won a game since October 6th, came on the road at Cleveland, now a bad team. We didn't think that week 1. They had won 11 games last year. Week 1 at Cleveland, destroyed them. Won by 33-17, won by 16 points. At the Giants, again, not a good team. Close win, 20-15. At Pittsburgh, good team, but still playing Justin Fields because Russell Wilson was hurt. 120-17. All 3 of their wins, all 3. The Dallas Cowboys, all 3 of their wins have come on the road. Something to keep in mind. Something that's noteworthy because of how bad they've A, been at home, but B, more importantly, maybe they just simply play harder, play more effectively, play a little cleaner, play a little more comfortable on the road than they certainly do at home where they've been bombed. Keep that in mind. They've got 3 wins on the year. All 3 are on the road. But here's the reason why you should feel really good about the Commanders. And I'm sure many of you do already, but let me just color the picture a little bit more for you. What's Washington's strength on offense? If you could pick out one strength, their identity, their DNA, it's running the ball, right? It sure as hell ain't separation and explosion from the receivers. It's not Jaden Daniels throwing bomb after bomb after bomb. It's running the ball in a variety of different ways with a variety of different backs and the quarterback, obviously a big part of that, and the blocking on the perimeter edge and so on and so forth. That's what the Commanders are really good at. That's what the Commanders need to be really good at. That's what the Commanders need to major in, because that's what makes the most sense. The Dallas Cowboys have averaged giving up 151 yards a game rushing. The NFL average is 120. That's 30, almost 31 yards per game. 31 yards per game rushing allowed over the league average. That's the league average. That's not a good defense. That's the league average. So against an elite defense, say, a Baltimore, Pittsburgh, what have you, it might be 50 or 60 above. Just using that as a to kind of paint the picture. So the Commanders, as we all know, when they have been at their very best, they have been a run-first team, they have been a run-heavy team, and no matter what the number nerds and the analytics amigos want to tell you about running the ball, taking longer, and this, that, and blah, 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 guess what? When your offense is not built to be explosive through the air, you better be able to run the football. And nobody, and I mean nobody, can say, this offense is built to be explosive through the air. Can they make explosive plays from time to time? Sure. We've seen it. Are they explosive by nature? Are they big chunk by nature? No. But the Cowboys, being as bad run defense as they are, and again, it's not the worst in the league, but as bad run defense as they are, 4.75 per play, the NFL average 4.42 per play. So they're significantly worse there. The Cowboys being bad in that area, and if you watch the game on Monday night and you saw Joe Mixon carve them up and run basically right through the middle of their line, this should be the ultra-heavy emphasis from the start, play one through play 60 or 65 or 70 or whatever amount of plays that it is. The Commanders should run in this game for over 150 yards. Should. You say, well, over 150 yards, they're only allowing. Again, that's against everybody. That's not just against better run offenses. That's against everybody. I wouldn't exactly call the Houston Texans a great run offense. Are they capable of being a good run offense? Absolutely. I wouldn't say they're great, right? Against Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens, against earlier in the year, Alvin Kamara and the Saints, against San Francisco a couple of weeks, you know, like the Cowboys have given up too many yards, clearly, but maybe that number is a little bit lower because they haven't always gone up against a good or great running offense. So I think we start with that. That's our base, right? That's our DNA. That's our initial install, if you will. The fact of the matter is they should be able to run up the middle between Allegretti, Biadasz, and Cosme at will consistently against this team. Brian Robinson is back. Austin Eckler. You have, obviously, Jeremy McNichols. They say, again, Jaden Daniels is not injured. I could see a lot of read option keeper for Jaden Daniels. Around edge, I don't necessarily want to see quarterback power, but in the red zone, in the goal-to-go situations, man, spread them out, four wide receivers, what have you, thin out the box, boom, Jaden Daniels out of shotgun, out of pistol, quarterback draw, quarterback takeoff, quarterback jet, whatever you want to call it. That's how we start. When we come back, I'm going to give you the knockout punch. The knockout punch of how to attack the Cowboys is next. Then we'll get into the defense. We can get into your calls. How do you see the game? Do you see it as a blowout? Do you see it as a laugher? Do you see it as nothing to see here, nothing to worry about? Or are you concerned because of the last two games? And because it's a division game, and because it's a rival, and because their pride is wounded. How do you see the game? Tell me what you see through your crystal ball, I guess. I guess that would be what many of you might use to project what's going to... I don't use a crystal ball. I just use my brain. I use common sense. And I'm going to give you the knockout punch next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the Dallas Cowboys come in not only licking their wounds from getting their ass kicked on Monday night, and all year for that matter, 3 wins on the year, but again, all 3 wins on the road, for whatever that means. The Dallas Cowboys come in with their defense basically being like, hey, if anything's pretty okay, it's us. It's that. Not to say that they're great by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not. They're not. They've given up way too many points. But they've had so many injuries, still without DeMarcus Lawrence, just got Micah Parsons back a couple of games ago. Looks like they're getting Deron Bland back this week. They've had other injuries. They've had a ton of injuries. They had to change the personnel around. They had to change the scheme around a little bit when DQ came here. Mike Zimmer came there. Apparently, I didn't realize this, I guess. I remember sort of hearing it, but Joe Witt was all pissed off that he didn't get the defensive coordinator spot. So, of course, he came here with Dan Quinn. And instead, Jerry Jones wanted Mike Zimmer, and the players don't love Mike Zimmer, and so on and so forth. But here's where I wanted to go with this. The Dallas Cowboys' strength, if they have one, again, is their defense. And we all know what kind of special player Micah Parsons can be. I'll move him out of the conversation for right now. What I want to concentrate on, what I want to focus on, is after the Commanders soften up the Dallas Cowboys' interior with the run and get them going, maybe sideline to sideline, get them feeling like, oh man, we're in for a long day here. Played on a short week, long travel, so on and so forth. Boy, are we beat up. And our bodies still hurt. After you do that, midway through the first quarter, 3-4 minutes left to go in the first quarter. You come out of a timeout. You come out off of a turnover. Maybe a big momentum swinging play. Or just out of a TV timeout. And you blast their ass. Here's how you do it. You line up Terry McLaurin wide against Trayvon Diggs or Deron Bland if he's playing, which he's expected to. He's been full go Wednesday and Thursday. We don't have their injury report yet for today. But especially against Trayvon Diggs. Remember what Terry did to him back in 2020? It was 2020? I think it was 2020. Just abused him in that late October game on a couple of double moves. That's the knockout blow. If you can hit it. If you can connect on it. Run a double move from, say, I don't know, your 40, 45, whatever it might be. Again, out of a TV timeout, off of a turnover, and you get kind of a little momentum going, maybe off of both, and then boom, you lower the boom. And maybe that sounds simple. Oh, geez, Chris, don't you think they would do that if they could? They don't do that in every game. They don't run double moves for long ball threat in every game. They just don't. Like a lot of people are thinking, and Cliff even said it yesterday, I got to get the ball to we got to get the ball to him. Get the ball to him. Sure, get the ball to him on a wide receiver screen or a little tunnel screen or whatever you want to do early on. Get them to start jumping up. Get them to start biting on that. Get them to start believing that you're not going to go over the top, that you're not going to stretch, that you're not going to test them, and then blast their ass. And think of your boy. If Terry McLaurin is trotting into the end zone with 4 minutes left to go in the first quarter on a double move up the Cowboys sideline. Because he and Trayvon Diggs have had some battles. And again, Deron Bland is coming back. And the corner that's been filling in for Deron Bland isn't very good. So it doesn't have to necessarily be Trayvon Diggs. But I've seen Terry do it to Trayvon Diggs. Do it. And land the punch early. Land the knockout blow early. 2 o'clock, Team 980 on a Feel Good Football Friday. We'll get to your calls coming up, and we'll get to how the defense has to attack next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.